From small veggie gardens to sprawling plots in peri-urban neighborhoods, growing food inside the city has at times been seen as the somewhat magic solution to feeding urban populations. In the 1980s and 90s, the focus on urban agriculture saw a rise in popularity of such phrases as cities feeding people, hunger-proof cities, urban harvest. However, research shows that in reality, a very small proportion of people living in the cities grow food for themselves, even fewer grow food for sale. This episode of Feeding Hungry Cities, Southern Africa, speaks on food security, asks the question, what role is urban agriculture currently playing in the food security of Southern Africa's rapidly urbanizing towns and cities? If you think of Southern Africa's cities, words like crowded, hectic, fast-paced may come to mind. So what are some of the challenges when it comes to growing food in the city?
First of all, I don't have the skills that are required to grow any plants, really. And secondly, I don't have the time.
I'm a tenant, I stay in a flat. I don't have enough space to grow them.
Even if I wanted to grow my own crops, I wouldn't have the space or the means to produce my own. For me, the easiest way to actually get my hands on vegetables and fruits is to actually go to a supermarket.
There's no space. Where I stay, there are about 5 tenants. And so the whole yard has been occupied by, what I can say, different people's homes, different families are staying there.
Maybe I would say I'll attribute that to lack of interest and time, because I'm not always found at home. It's not easy to grow, you know, vegetables at my backyard because of, you know, lack of water.
Research conducted by AFSAN found that only about a fifth of people surveyed in cities across Southern Africa grow any of their own food. More significantly, very few households gain any income from the sale of home-produced food. There are, of course, variations by city. Urban agriculture as a survival mechanism has resulted in some of the highest rates of urban agriculture occurring in Zimbabwe. According to Percy Toriro of the Municipal Development Partnership for East and Southern Africa,
I will attribute the situation in Zimbabwe, the high uptake of urban agriculture, to significant events. Firstly, in 1991, there was the World Bank induced economic structural adjustment program, which forced government to cut down on social expenditure, and this led to a situation where particularly the low income people had to find other survival strategies. Then came the lost decade, the period between the year 2000 and 2009, when the country, for political and other reasons, was isolated by a number of countries. As a result of that situation, Zimbabweans had to find a way of surviving under the difficulties, and urban agriculture was one of the strategies that they adopted as a coping strategy.
Yet, even in Zimbabwe, growing within the city has many challenges.
I started farming some time ago, you know, after I lost my job. I then decided to revert to farming along Mkubisi River, of course. As you can see, the maize that I have now is about to be harvested, and on just this piece of land, I'm able to fend for my family. I don't need to buy maize for Millie Mill, you see. What I can say is, from this small piece of land, I am able to survive.
It's early morning. Davangu Isachigome is already busily tending his crop alongside the Mukuvisi River, just outside of Zimbabwe's capital, Harare. For urban growers like Mr. Chigome, such agriculture is their very survival. His small plot of maize puts food on the table for his family of 7. It's also a source of much-needed cash. However, as he tells Chengetai Murimwa, Davanguisa Chigome is well aware that the river water is not, in fact, all that safe.
Yeah, the river is fed by water from industries. It is also fed by water from the city, because the sewer from the toilet is fed into the river. Then it goes to Lake Chwero. But that makes it flow all year round.
Whether fed by sewage drains or run off from dirty city streets, many of these urban riversides are polluted. Most of the farmers know this, but say they have little other options for livelihoods.
We know of siltation, soil erosion and things like that. But at the end of the day, we don't have anything that will give us some livelihood. This is what we depend on. What City Council does at times is when our crops are promising, quite promising, they come, they mow them down, they slash them, and at the end of the day, you lose the whole field to City Council. And that is the greatest predicament that we are facing.
In Gaborone, only 5% of households produce their own food. Professor S.M. Kapunda from the University of Botswana says that the local climate and soil conditions make agriculture in that country difficult, but that food security could still benefit from support to the urban farming sector.
Food security in Botswana could be improved by various strategies, for instance, trying to expand the production areas, encourage also the private sector to be involved maybe in large type of farming using new technologies and so on. And probably even the issue of irrigation could be considered.
While conceding that there is some opportunities for urban agriculture in South Africa, Sally Peberty, a senior researcher at the Gauteng City Regional Observatory, agrees that city spaces are not very conducive to growing food.
If you live in an informal settlement, where are you going to grow it? The houses are too close together, or very close together, so growing food is quite difficult. Also, what's the quality of the water? Is there flooding? Is there flooding from the toilets? You don't necessarily want to grow food in some places in informal settlements, because it's going to make you sick. But on the other hand, there may be places there which could become food gardens.
Evidence suggests that across the region, urban food production is motivated by household survival rather than commercial income-generating opportunities. Food-insecure households are far more likely than food-secure households to grow food. There are, of course, exceptions and examples of city dwellers who are able to make a living off their urban plots. Clifford Ngwenya started his small plot in Alexandra Township on the outskirts of Johannesburg to feed himself. His small little plot grew, and now his low-cost, fresh vegetables are popular with members of the surrounding community. There's even some foreign favorites of the large local migrant community who sometimes bring Ngwenya seeds so that they can have a taste of home. Ramatamo Sohai speaks to Ngwenya about his garden.
How much are you selling your vegetables?
If you got 5 rand in my pocket, then you are my friend. You'll get some veggies.
What kind of vegetables are you planting?
Almost every vegetable. I plant broccoli, even Cape to Cairo in China. There is spinach, mustard spinach, because there is different types of spinach. I also plant the bright lights, chomolia, all those types of veggies.
While home-based gardens may provide some supplementary food to families and local communities, there also seems to be a growing interest in collaborative urban agriculture. Professor Michael Radolf is an AFSAN member at the University of the Witwatersrand. Professor Radolf came to the conclusion that people were very food insecure and, after some research, was doubtful of feeding schemes.
I saw some articles on food gardens in the inner city, and suddenly it just resonated with me to say that this could be not only a good example of showing people how to grow food, of actually growing food, of showing people how to prepare food and benefit from the wide range of nutritious foods that can be grown in a place like Johannesburg.
And in 2005, the Siyakhana Food Garden Project was born. Siyakhana, which means building one another, is a project based at the University of the Witwatersrand. The Siyakhana Garden provides healthy food to inner-city early childhood development centers and organizations providing home-based care. This demonstration garden also sells access to local markets to help generate income to stay sustainable. What was once a patch of ugly inner-city ground has been transformed with permaculture gardening techniques and a great deal of effort.
Gauteng is the largest population in South Africa, and therefore to feed these millions of people, we need to realize that we can't rely on the Mpumalangas and the Limpopas and the Eastern Cape to produce our food. And there is quite a lot of land, smaller bits of land, bigger bits of land within Gauteng, and I think that as you can see from here, we grow a range of different kinds of vegetables, of herbs, of fruits that can provide people with this diverse range of foods, which would hopefully provide their nutritional needs and therefore improve their health.
The establishment of the Siyakhana Food Garden was not an easy road, especially when it came to being allocated the land by the city of Johannesburg. The Sisonke Agricultural Co-op has faced similar challenges, saying that acquiring land has been a long battle. Tabiso Mpele told Simpiwe Kwicha that cooperatives can be a way to address the problem of small farm inefficiencies, but that land remains a key question, especially for people from urban disadvantaged communities.
What is a Sisonke Agri Co-op?
It's a community-based cooperative. One would say whereby a group of guys gather together for one reason specifically, to offer stable food to the community. Because what we've seen that people that go to the market and buy food, they buy food which is no longer in a good space or in a good use for people. And sometimes it's food that's been thrown away in the market and they come and sell it. So what we've decided, no, let's grow vegetables which are stable, which still has those nutrients that are needed for the body.
How hard is it to get land in the urban area?
Oh, it's very hard, my friend. I'll make an example in the city of Johannesburg. In the city, we'd have a company that is under the city. It's called JPC, Johannesburg Property Company. Whatever land belongs to the city, it's them that leases the land or that sells the land. But the land needs to take into a tender first. The land is taken to a tender, then after the tender, you bid for the land. And you know, for people within the community, or people from this in a disadvantageous area like Orange Farm, when you talk of bidding, when I bid with somebody from, let's say, Santen, basically the person is going to win. Firstly, they would want a business plan for the land. When you go to JPC, what they will tell you is that the land belongs to the city.
There is no doubt that some in Southern Africa's cities have turned their green thumbs into a viable source of locally available produce. It's evident, however, that a shortage of space and time, as well as official opposition and bylaws, means that urban agriculture is not an option for many, and that some people would really rather not grow their own crops for a number of reasons. The AFSAN research shows that for various reasons, few city dwellers grow their own food. For Professor Jonathan Crush, the director of AFSAN, this disproves common assumptions that the solution for urban food security is simply to produce more food locally.
There seems to be this assumption that most of the food insecure in developing countries or the South are resident in rural areas. And the solution to their food insecurity is to get them to grow more food themselves. Well, you can see in an urban context that it's a very different set of challenges that confront poor urban people, perhaps who've recently come from the rural areas when they arrive in the city and have to access food primarily through purchasing it.
The AFSAN survey shows that across the region, rates of participation in urban food production in poor urban communities are currently very low, with some variation between cities. Comprehensive systematic research into the linkages between urban agriculture, food security, and health nutrition could go a long way to easing institutional and political obstacles to city farming in Southern Africa. AFSAN maintains that urban agriculture is unlikely ever to do much more than take the edge off people's hunger. It is certainly not going to solve the crisis of food insecurity in Southern African towns and cities.
Hunger, African city, people in rows don't want to get home. Month end, money not reaching, 6 more days of an empty kitchen. It's getting late, enough I can take, enough is enough, I need food on my plate. Out on your own, friends are not home, beginning to grow and moving our own. No change for taxi, no ticket for bus, no food security.